I have the opportunity to speak to you today and also next week. I need to tell Ruby this, but next week is going to be Habakkuk 2023. So you can go take a look at Habakkuk and see what I might be talking about. The other day I'm walking down the street and here's this young woman. Her pants look like they went through a baler. I mean, they're just shreds. They're just hanging on her. Half of her hair is orange. The other half is blue. I don't know whether that was team colors or something, but it looked kind of unusual. I've also seen people laying in the street late in the evening. You have too. And you tend to want to make some kind of judgment about those people and their life and whether there's any relationship between them and God. In Luke chapter 19, we read, "And he entered and was passing through Jericho," that's Jesus, "and behold, a man called by the name Zacchaeus, he was a chief publican, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus as to who he was, and could not for the crowd, because he was a little man. He couldn't see over him. There were too many people in his way. He ran on before and climbed up into a sycamore tree so he could see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and he came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, he has gone in to lodge with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have wrongfully extracted aught from any man, I restore it fourfold. Jesus said to him, today is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." When the Jews saw Zacchaeus, they saw a weasel. A weasel. I don't know if many of you know about weasels. They're about that long. They turn white in the wintertime and brown in the summertime. I used to trap them between Midland Road and Mose Road. I used to live there, and I'd go out the back door, and that was all woods. All those subdivisions were woods. And I trapped weasels back there. And weasels are nasty little critters. I mean, they're just downright nasty. If they get into your chicken coop, warning, they will kill every single chicken in the coop, every one. And they won't eat a one of them. They're just nasty little critters. So the Jews thought of Zacchaeus as a weasel who sided with their oppressor, the Romans. As a publican or a tax collector, he was equivalent to a Gentile, probably seen as much worse. Jesus referred to individuals who were not acceptable to God to be looked at. This is when we're dealing with Matthew 18, where it's dealing with the discipline within a church congregation. That if the individual won't listen to the elders and the congregation as a whole, let him be as a Gentile and a publican. That's the ranking that the society made of publicans. So when they saw Zacchaeus, they saw something nasty. So if you're trying to find the ultimate example to the Jewish person of a sinful person during the first century, you would speak about a publican. Luke chapter 18 helps to bring that out. You know, I like these things, but it takes a while to get used to them. Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 9. And he also told this parable to some of the people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. So we can understand that when the people of Jericho saw Zacchaeus, they saw one of the most insufferable sinners that was in their midst. He was not just a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector, meaning he was over other tax collectors. He was the worst of the tax collectors. People of Jericho probably could not stomach the idea that he was even a child of God like they were. To them, he was a good-for-nothing tax collector. What did Jesus see in Zacchaeus? What did he see when he looked up at him and told him to come down out of the sycamore tree? Did he see a tax collector? Did he see a sinful man? One who was quite guilty of sin? Undoubtedly. But then again, that's what Jesus sees in you and me, isn't it? Somebody who's missed the mark. Did Jesus understand how Zacchaeus would be perceived by his fellow men? Certainly. He knew what they thought of him. But Jesus saw a side of Zacchaeus that the rest of the people refused to see. He saw the possibility of repentance in such a man despite his great sin. He perceived how Zacchaeus was extremely interested in seeing him, that he would run ahead and climb up in the sycamore just to be able to see him. Jesus, therefore, did the most unbelievable, amazing thing, at least to the eyes of the inhabitants of Jericho. He decided to lodge with Zacchaeus. Of all people, Zacchaeus. Were there not more righteous men in Jericho? Probably. More righteous? In the eyes of the people, certainly there were other people, likely Pharisees in town, a priest, a Levite or two. Jesus stays with the ultimate sinner. And as society goes, tongues began to wag and people began to question. If Jesus really is the Son of God, he would know who this guy was. Why would he stay with such a person? Doesn't Jesus understand? But Jesus is immediately vindicated by Zacchaeus' response. Since Jesus was willing to show Zacchaeus love, compassion, mercy, and to give him a chance, even if completely undeserved. That mercy and compassion changed Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus responded with repentance. Repentance, a change of attitude that causes a change in action. Zacchaeus' actions changed. Jesus gently rebukes the crowd by demonstrating how salvation has come and that Zacchaeus is a child of Abraham, even if the people saw him as being too sinful to deserve being a child of Abraham. And we see how Jesus' ultimate purpose was fulfilled. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. There's a lot that we can learn from the story itself for those who are in sin and separated from Christ. Well, let's look at that. Enough of my talking. Let's look at what God says here. Isaiah. Great book. Someday I've got to learn more about it. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear you. You can take courage from the example of Zacchaeus and know that Jesus has provided you love, compassion, and mercy, even though you don't deserve it. Paul, writing to the people in Rome, in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, some texts read sinners, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. One will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone might dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I get an image there. I have not been in war, but I know of circumstances in which individuals sacrifice their lives to save somebody else in the foxhole. Imagine an individual who sacrifices his life to save the enemy. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. Wow, sorry. Hello. Yeah. Know that Jesus has provided you love, compassion, and mercy, whether you deserve it or not. And you can change. You can begin serving the Lord. You can be saved, no matter what you've done. When you think about what people have done, consider what Paul had to say in writing to Timothy, Timothy, first letter to Timothy, chapter 1, starting in verse 12. Paul writes, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord has more than abundant for the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. Paul was a murderer of Christians and became one of the greatest apostles and a writer of the majority of the New Testament, a murderer of Christians. It doesn't matter what you have done, God can reach out and save you. All of us, however, can learn from Jesus and what he saw in Zacchaeus. If we're honest with ourselves, we'll recognize that we have played the part of the people of Jericho far too often. At least I have. We make judgments about people, not even knowing who they are. We've been terribly sinful people and believe that there are almost no chance for them to be saved. We have despised such people in our heart, especially if those people have oppressed us or harmed us or our family in some way. We certainly could not see how any truly righteous person could have anything to do with such people. But the witness of Scripture is clear. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. All. And that means that none of us have the right to so judge and condemn anyone. James chapter 4, I know there's a few in Matthew too, but in James chapter 4, the print's too small. Where did it go? 12. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you in judging your neighbor? The only reason that any of us have a prayer of salvation is because God shows us love, compassion, and mercy. And that despite ourselves, as is presented to us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, those terrible sinners have just as much right to obtain God's grace and repent of their sins and be obedient as any of the rest of us do. For God shows no partiality. Romans 2, verse 11. Therefore, when we encounter terrible sinners, let us remember that just as Jesus would show love, mercy, and compassion, even though they do not deserve it, so we should also show them love, mercy, and compassion. It may well be that we have little influence on their actions or their lives. But you never know when that person that you have written off as a terrible sinner may turn out to be a Zacchaeus, one who will hear and change his ways. Let us all strive to maintain that kind of humility and humanity as we are a reflection of the love of Christ. Next time you walk down the street and you see those people that don't fit your lifestyle, consider Zacchaeus. Now, next week, I'll try and go longer.